lesson.
Very good.
Alan, would you open us up in prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, help us to glean all the things we need from this lesson. And we all want to be better witnesses for you, Lord. We all want to know how to share your word in a way. And help us to pick up the things we need to be a better witness for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Great. Thank you. So we want to go to, I'm going to say it's 13 in my book. I think it's 12 in your book, if I remember correctly. Okay. And we want to talk about the creation. Okay. But I want to go back and review for everybody for last week, because we, last week, the video showed, the training showed some hand signals, hand signs that we could make to help us put it all together. And we did use these out in New York. So here, let's review this part. Okay. Come on. Here you go. This would be five from last week, but I want to review the hand signals.
Which you're going to be able to build on, really, for the rest of your life. This is by no means exhaustive, but will provide hopefully a good foundation for you. And as you process this information, it will be important for you to make it your own. I would suggest that you write it out, practice it, and continually add to it, making it adaptable to any person's situation or story. Though we'll discuss it later, it will be important for you to make it compelling and make it beautiful and share it with people. We've already learned the power of a story that's well told. Now the story booklet right here has 10 major points of the gospel story divided up into four major categories of creation, fall, rescue, and restoration. Now, if I were to just give you the outline, it may be somewhat difficult to kind of memorize the key points. Now, there are 10 of them, so what I'm going to do is do some hand motions for you right now. Not that you would use these hand motions for this one, but it helps to solidify the basic outline that you'll be kind of filling in the next few weeks and for the rest of your life. So, you have the four major plot lines of creation, fall, rescue, restoration. And under creation, there are three major points. You have God, creation, and then harmony. So you can take your finger, put it up in the air, it's God. Take your other finger, creation, light, glow, and then harmony. You got that? So just go ahead and practice. God, creation, harmony. Now, the next part of the story is the fall. And underneath the fall, you have disobedience. You're talking now about Adam's sin. You have disobedience, and then, like you're crying, consequences, and then the big need that they and all of us have. So disobedience, consequences, and then need. So let's go back to the beginning. God, creation, harmony, disobedience, consequences, need. Now we come to the climax of the story. And that is very, very simple. You have promise made, and like Jesus dying on the cross, the nail prints, promise kept. Promise made, promise kept. Now let's go back to the beginning. Repeat after me. God, creation, harmony. Disobedience, consequences, me, promise made, promise kept. Now the final chapter of the story is the restoration. And this is all going to come full circle, the way the world's supposed to be, like it was in Eden. So we'll go back and we'll use the same thing with the globe, and we have all things new, and go back up with the finger, forever with God. All things new, forever with God. So let's go back to the beginning. Make sure you repeat after me. Practice it among your group one last time. God,
creation, harmony,
disobedience,
consequences,
need,
promise made,
promise
kept, all things new,
forever with God. Now please, as you work through this, read the booklet multiple times until you're getting a grasp of it and you can tell each of these sections in your own words. Take time to practice.
I want to just show that because a couple of us, you know, weren't here last week. I just wanted to review that part. So we'll move on now to, I think it's 17 in mine, 13 in yours. So let's, describe how it all began.
How did it all begin? Like all stories, this one begins in the beginning with the author, who is God.
Is it not that in your book? 16? Thank you. All right. You're done. Is it 16? How is it?
They were not to eat fruit from a specific tree. They lived in loving obedience, worshiping God as their heavenly Father, and enjoying perfect harmony with creation, each other, and God.
Sure.
Now it's extremely important to give a proper view of who God is. The scripture states in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Here are some things you may want to share about God. And again, in no means is this exhaustive. And you're going to add to this or take away depending on the person that you're talking with and how much time that you have. But a couple of important things is that, first of all, he is a unique being. Isaiah 45:5 says, I am the Lord. There is no other God. Also, that he is a holy being. Isaiah 6:3. Holy, holy, holy.
Might be 14 in your book. I've got 15 on mine. Is it 14, Jack?
He's also
okay, sorry about that. Thank you.
Showing that if he's the creator, that everything and everyone is dependent upon him. That God is far more majestic and powerful than we could ever imagine, but at the same time, he's more personal and intimate than we could ever imagine or think. It's going to be important that you stress God's love and mercy and grace. Now, there are so many things that you could share about the character of God. That he's a triune being. Talk about his justice, omnipotence, that he's omnipresent. So many different things. You're going to craft there's his eternality. There's certain things you want to make sure that you have, but you're not going to have sometimes time enough to get, you know, a full explanation. So you're going to have to pick and choose the things that you think is appropriate to share with that person. But remember, a proper view of God is essential. Now the second thing, you had God, and now you have creation. And his radical love, God created a beautiful world. Psalm 8:3 states, I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. So there's some things, little facts that you may want to share, but he created the heavens and the universe. But then he created a special planet called Earth. And there's something really unique about Earth. You may want to talk about that because it contains life. But you're then going to go from the heavens down to this beautiful place called Earth to the highlight of his creation, and that's when he made people. When he made Adam and Eve, and when he made you, because we're made in the image, and we are reflectors of the image of God. Now, it's going to be also good for you as you begin to share this and share about His creation, to take them to the Garden of Eden, to understand the first few chapters of Genesis, and show them that Adam and Eve were reflectors, were made in the very image of God, and they were created to worship and obey. Now, the third point is the harmony. Genesis 1:31 states, God saw all that He made, and behold, it was very good. Everything was in harmony. Adam and Eve were in harmony with God. They could walk in the garden and they could hear His voice. They were in harmony with creation. There was no storms. There were no tsunamis. There were no tornadoes. They could say, here, Tony the tiger, come on up here, little buddy. It wouldn't harm you. They were in harmony with each other. That means they had a perfect marriage. And who has a perfect marriage? But they had perfect communication. They had perfect intimacy with one another. And then they also had harmony within themselves. There was a perfect peace. There was no depression. There was no anxiety. There was no fear. There was no guilt. There was no shame. How would you like to be in a place like that? Where everything was in perfect harmony. No crime. There's no hospital. There's no sickness. There's no disease. How would you love to hear the voice of God? How would you like to have a perfect relationship? Well, this is the way it was. And really, this is the world, the way it was supposed to be. So you have God, you have creation, and then you have harmony. It will be important for you to go home and write this section out, include the verses, create a compelling story in your own words. Practice that story. Know that story. And then it will be extremely, extremely important that you role play this.
Okay, let's go back through that. We'll work through this together. And I'm going to say again, did you say, Alan, you thought it was 14? We started?
That's where it goes back. If you go to creation, where it says
okay.
Creation, and then it's actually on 12.
Okay, so you're 12. Okay, I'm 13. Okay. I just want to make sure we get together. Because I think I told you the wrong page earlier. So let's go to page, it would be 12 in your book then, okay? And we'll work through this, creation, how it all began, and we'll work through this together, okay? We see the verses there in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, and then it goes to Psalms 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So we know, we understand, or I don't know if we understand the right word, but we know that God is the one that's created this story, right? We've talked about stories, okay, how important they were. And they're important here, okay? Let's go on down to one then. Like any story, there must be a main character, okay? And who is that for this story? God.
Did we do this last week? For some reason, I got all these answers.
Do you? Well, I think let's just review them. Okay, because thank you, Alan. Okay, we know that God is love. And we know that because of 1 John 4:16. God is love. Okay? And then Psalms 136:26. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for His steadfast love endures forever. Okay? Very good. Let's turn the page. Again, I'm on page 15. And you're on 14? Okay, very good. Just make sure we're together. And then 3 there says, God is majestic and powerful. How do we know that? Isaiah 40:28. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Also Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. So what Jerry said here in this video and what we say, God is unique. We know that from Isaiah 6:3. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Isaiah 45:5, I am the Lord and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. So, we went down to 5. God is far more powerful and majestic than we could ever imagine. But at the same time, more personal and intimate than we could ever think. And then that, over there on the next page, that N.T. Wright, that statement he made, there is a God, but not like the other gods. Okay. Is that what it is? There's a good point. So let's move on to the next page. Mine's 17. Yours is probably, what, 16 then?
Yeah.
Okay. Creation. Okay. Psalms 8:3, the verse right at the top of the page. I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. Psalms 8:3. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them by my name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. Isaiah 40:26. Okay. If you ever want to do something, if you want to look at the universe or the stars, go over, usually on a Saturday night it's open. And it's open, and you can give, just all they want is a donation. But the telescope at the golf course. Thank you for, I can't think of the name right now, but it's there by Proctor.
Donovan,
thank you. Okay, if you ever want to go there on a Saturday night, they open it up at 8:30, and it's just a donation is all you have to give. And I've gone there a number of times because I think it's just so fascinating to look at our universe. And I'm sure you've been to a planetarium and seen, you know, it's just unbelievable, you know, that, I mean, you have to pick the night that it's clear, you know, it's not overcast. But if you ever want to do something some cool evening, I've done it a few times. On a Saturday night, usually opens at 8:30, but you can see, look through their telescope. And it's just a fascinating thing. But anyway, I just digress there. Let's look at 6, question 6. God created the earth for a specific purpose. And like Jerry said in the video, God created humans to reflect his image. Okay? So we know as the creator, God created everything. Okay? And everyone. It's all dependent on him. Contrary to what we hear in our culture today, there is no God. He didn't create it. It was the Big Bang Theory. You know, but he is the creator of everything and everyone. We're totally dependent on him. Okay? After God created everything else, he did what? He created Adam and Eve. Okay, and from Adam, of course, he created Adam, but then from Adam, he created Eve. I'm sorry, said that wrong. To reflect what? To reflect to the world his love for each one of us in his image. Okay, let's move over to the next page where it says harmony. Remember, we in our figures, we have God, we have the world, we have harmony. Okay. In the beginning, there was harmony, right? Genesis 1:31. God saw that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Okay, look at question 9. God created everything to work together in perfect harmony. Okay? Adam and Eve enjoyed this harmony with God, with creation, and with each other, and within their own hearts. That harmony that God created in the beginning. Look at 11. God gave Adam and Eve full reign on earth with just one rule. Okay? That rule comes from Genesis 2:16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Why the one rule? Why the one rule?
Give you free will to
free will to choose. Okay. What was the, do you think it was also could have been God was giving them the option of whether they were really going to trust him? The opportunity to trust him, just like he gives us the opportunity to trust him, just like he gives us the opportunity to love him. He shows his love towards us. What does harmony mean to you? What's harmony mean to you? In your individual life, in your personal life, what does it mean to you?
Well, one thing, you're not arguing all the time. You're not having a conflict.
Yeah. Yeah. Brother B, you were getting ready to say something?
We're just working together.
Working together?
That's what some politics can do. Even in the church, sometimes we struggle with that.
Absolutely. I know a few of us in this room. I know Jack and Alan and Brother B. I can't think of Mark and Diane or Ben, but I know, and myself, because I've been with Alan, but we've been on the mission field, haven't we? I can't remember, Ben, if you've ever been on one, or Mark and Diane, but we've been on the mission field for a project, haven't we? And we've had to work together, haven't we? Okay. I thought... you know, when Alan and I were in Ivory Coast a few years ago, you know, Alan could attest to this, trying to work with the wood that they wanted us to work with to make these benches was quite a challenge, wasn't it, Alan?
Yeah. Well, you got to understand, this was a roof that was blown off about 100 yards and crashed.
So,
picking through it.
and the thing was, nothing was in the place where we needed it, wasn't it, Alan? So, my point is, we had to work together, right? We had to have some harmony, you know, working together. You know, and Alan can attest to the fact he had to run with, to the I'm going to call it a hardware store or a lumberyard a few times to get things. But the point is, it took harmony on that project, right? Brother B, when you were in, you had to work in harmony with the locals and with other believers there, didn't you? You know? So,
one of the things that I struggle with, we stress awfully a lot. I've heard people, teachers in our church, even maybe Pastor Kevin, say that there's no free will. I just can't agree with that. That we don't have a free will. Have you ever heard that? I mean, you know, God has just planned everything out. I know I got to stop.
No, I think Brother B is right. I think we do have a free will, and that's why evil exists, because God's in control of everything except for free will, and that's why you can almost get hit going home from church by somebody who's a drunk driver. They've made choices, and it could imperil everybody, any given person's life. But I've heard from Baptists and Presbyterian ministers my whole life that, yeah, man does have a free will. That God doesn't make us.
I think what we can understand is God gives us free will, but he already knows what our choice is going to be.
Well, that's,
and that doesn't that's compete
true.
With us.
That's different. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. He knows what's
it's still happen. Our free will. It's just that he already knows.
Yeah.
It's like, I knew Jack was coming to this class today, but in God's case, he knew it long before Jack got up this morning. He knew that Jack was coming here.
It says we're elected according to the foreknowledge of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does. It says that.
He foreknows. You know, yeah. He knows everything.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Well, I think that's a good point, though, Brother B. No, I don't think you're getting off track at all. I think we do have a free will, like Jack explained, to a point that God allows us that place or that, you know, point in time. Because I think, go ahead, Alan, you were getting ready to share something.
I was just going to say, Dr. Dunn used to say years ago, he says it's like a big sign for whoever shall come, you know, whoever will come to him. And he says, if you walked underneath that sign and you look back up here, it says chosen from the beginning of time. You know, mm-hmm. He chose us. He knew we would do it because he knew we had a free will, but whoever shall may come. But he knew before, you know, way back, you know, that we were the ones who were going to come. He knows who won't.
I think that probably, I don't know about all of us in this room, but I think majority of us in this room have probably heard, and maybe Jack can even speak to this too, but I've heard Scott Cruzy say to me, and I know he said it on a Wednesday night in the old sanctuary, that why, Scott said, you know, why am I a believer and I have two brothers that are not? You know, when you talk about free will, why did I, you know, my free will and God's election, you know, in my family, why did I had the free will to accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior? My two brothers had the same thing. They heard the same gospel in the Methodist church that we went to down in Easton. You know, I can't speak in Jack, but I know Jack has a brother or two that are not believers. How did you can speak to that, Jack? But why Jack came to the Lord? Why isn't his brothers? I can't speak specifically to that, but I know Scott Cruzy would follow along with what you're saying, Brother B, or what you're thinking. There's that free will, but why was Scott elected? I'm sorry.
The free will question, or not question, but problem is kind of like answering the question, can God make a rock so big that he can't move it? There's no answer there. I mean, you can't. Can he do anything? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, then, you know, can he make a rock so big that he can't move it?
No. you could stop gravity. You could stop or make gravity happen.
So,
I think the full implications of free will and the Trinity, we're not going to understand this.
You mean not in the next 10 minutes?
And that's probably, you're right, that's probably one of those questions we won't get completely answered until we're in heaven. But
it says the secret things belong to God and the things that he has revealed to us we understand.
Yeah.
There's some things we just can't fully grasp.
Yeah.
We just take it by faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. But those two brothers, Scott, he needs to keep reaching out to them.
So right.
That's the thing. Sometimes we say, well, they're not chosen. You know, no. We got to keep at it.
Yeah.
And keep right. sharing the story.
Yeah.
With them.
Because we don't know who God has chosen.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. That's good. Thank you for bringing that up, Brother B. Okay. So in that harmony, okay, on that, under harmony, we read Genesis 1:31. God saw all that he was made, and behold, it was very good. So God created everything to work together in perfect harmony. Okay? And we had that one rule. How did they break? They had that, you know, that's how that question came up about free will. You know, when we talk about stories, and we've talked about that, create your story. God's creating a story here from the beginning, okay, of time. Okay? I read, and I should have brought it this morning, and I forgot, but I pulled an old children's storybook out that we had for Jonathan and Joel, okay? And I should have brought it, I forgot, but it would have been interesting to read the story in there, a children's book, about creation. You know, how, I hate to use the word simple, because I don't mean to sound that we're simple, that we that's what we need, but I thought it was so interesting to read that children's storybook about creation from a story from a Jesus storybook Bible for kids, you know, about that creation, how it explained, how it laid it out for a child to understand. And isn't it unfortunate? I can't speak for you. I have to speak for myself. Sometimes I needed something to be told to me very remedial, very slow, you know, please, you know. You know, we all are married to the person that God brought us together in love, and okay. And if I could say one thing about my marriage, okay, and Karen would agree to this, so Alan, you can ask her, okay. But wait till you go to Ecuador in July, please. But no, Karen is the detail person. in my house, in our marriage, okay? I'll have to, I say, because, you know, I'm not a DeepL person, okay? So my point is, in a children's storybook, in reading that Bible about the creation, it's very, you know, understandable. Maybe that was the word I should have used, not simple. Maybe very understandable, okay? But the point is, okay, we all need a story, okay? But and everything God made worked together perfectly in perfect harmony. Until what? Until Adam and Eve was tempted by Satan, questioning God, why shouldn't you eat of that tree, right? Why shouldn't you? And then she did. She disobeyed. Adam disobeyed. What happened? Okay? We'll look at that next week. The fall comes. And what went wrong? That's next week. Okay? But it's a story. That's what he's saying in our videos today. Create your story. Okay? Tell your story. Okay? It's a fascinating story, isn't it? There's no better story in all the world, is there, than Jesus Christ coming to earth, forgiving us of our sin. And of course, what was better than talking about this last week from Easter Sunday? Okay? The risen Savior. Okay? He provides us that hope. Okay? He provides us that hope. Because we've all talked about experiences. Alan shared his experiences on the field. Okay? Diane could share her experience when sharing at Awana's. You know, all of us could share a story about Brother B's got many stories, I'm sure, from his time on the mission field and at Camp Nathaniel. You know, in fact, a couple Sundays ago when him and I were the only two here because of the snow, he was sharing with me some neat stories about Camp Nathaniel. I've never been to Camp Nathaniel. I know some of you probably have in this room. But he was sharing me how neat of a ministry that was and people, you know, coming to know Jesus. That's exciting, you know, for that. But that's what we need to do. Share our story. It's a good story. Okay? Very good. Well, that's it for this week. Okay, we're getting through it. Thank you. Okay? So, very good. Ben, would you pray us out, please? Sure.